If you have your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Today we're finishing our series on the promise, and today we're going to talk about a thankful heart. I got to be really honest with you. I was praying this week through this message, and it is so short. How many of you just thank God for that? I just kept, Lord, add more, and it's so short, and so it is a short message. I don't know, it's 15 minutes maybe or something. How many of you don't believe that? Okay, well, you're smarter than everybody else. Let's pray. Father, bless the word today. We ask for the glory of your presence as the word of God is preached that would touch our hearts and change our minds and renew us. Jesus, we love you, and we do want to walk in your ways, so would you teach us how to do that in your name. Amen? Amen. First Thessalonians, say that five times fast. Chapter 5, verse 16 says this, rejoice always, that's one verse. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Think about this for a minute. Rejoice, pray, and be thankful. How many go, yes, that's easy, right? Yeah, we pray. But when you add the adverb to it, it gets a little more intense, doesn't it? Pray, watch this, rejoice always. How many have a hard time with that? Go ahead, raise it up. Always rejoice? What about if there's a bad circumstance or something bad happened? Am I really supposed to rejoice? Watch this. Pray without ceasing. Pray, yeah, I pray for my meal. I pray for a little blessing. But to pray without ceasing, I mean, that's kind of intense. And then to give thanks in every circumstance. Give thanks in every circumstance. What does that mean? Does that mean I got in a car crash? Lord, thank you so much for the car crash. God, it was so fun to be in that wreck. Or if somebody gets sick, Lord, thank you for this sickness. It's so good. No, that is not what it is. It's not thanking God for the circumstance. It's thanking God in the circumstance. It's having a humble, grateful, thankful heart. And if you, I was reading online. I love Google. How many love Google? There's a little old lady. She probably knows the Bible better than anyone I've ever known. She's about, I don't know, 78, and I was at Thanksgiving with her. She's kind of broken English, and she was asking me hard questions all night. Pastor Rick, come here. Come here, Pastor. Do you know if Adam had a belly button? I'm like, I don't know. She asked me all these obscure things, and I was Googling. She didn't know it, but she would say, you know, how many sons did Abraham have? Seven. Oh, you know your Bible. She'd ask me some other obscure thing. I would Google it. And I was Googling thankfulness. I was Googling gratitude. I just said, benefits of being a grateful, thankful person. And listen to this. There's 31 things that science has proven about gratitude. Is God correct in all of his assessments when he says we should be thankful and we should be forgiving and we shouldn't hold bitterness? Yes, because it does stuff to our physical bodies. It actually messes with us. So I'm not going to go through 31 of the things, but there are four things that I thought were pretty cool. If a grateful person, gratitude improves your heart health. Literally, your physical heart is better when you are grateful. Gratitude builds your immune system physically. Gratitude helps with sleep. How many want some sleep? Gratitude helps in your relationships and in your friendships. Grateful people have more friends. Why? Because who wants to hang out with a Debbie Downer all day? Everybody seen Saturday Night Live, Debbie Downer? It's one of the best things ever. It's, you know, they'll bring up something. Gee, roller coasters are really fun. And then she'll say, you know, 47 people a year die on a roller coaster. Wah, wah. You know, who wants to hang out with that? Ted Porter on our council, when we play golf together, he's my favorite person to play golf with because whether he's getting a triple bogey or a birdie, it's the same joy and the same laughter. He's like hanging out with sunshine. Gratitude in our hearts, thankful living actually attracts people to you because nobody wants to hang out with a Debbie Downer. Amen? Here's a little thing that I read about that's kind of cool. If you take a little journal and write down every night before you go to bed the things that you are thankful for, they actually say you'll sleep better. Because you've engaged something in your brain that releases the right kind of endorphins. And so, how many of you, sometimes you get a little bit, something bad will happen and it poisons the whole water hole. Anybody like that? I have a problem. I've been asking the Lord to help me with it in the last 4 or 5 months because I realize that something bad will happen and I will allow that bad thing to poison the whole entire well. Instead of going, yeah, there's a little bad that comes every now and again, but man, there's a lot of good. God is doing such great things in my life. And see, thankfulness, when we start to be thankful, it actually changes the atmosphere around us of who we are and how we feel and how we act, because you just have to stop sometimes and go, God, thank you that I can walk. We take for granted this motion. When I busted my arm, and I know I'll show it for those who have never seen it, just so you can say you've seen it. But when I busted my elbow, I don't know if you can get that on the camera. Is that good or what? It dances around and does all kinds of crazy. It was shattered completely. And when I got out of the cast, I realized I couldn't feel my hand here and I couldn't move my hand. And so I went through all these tests for like 6 months, and they basically said I would never use my hand again, that it would only get worse, that I would be paralyzed. And so this is how I was for 2 years almost, year and a half. I couldn't move my hand. I would try to move it. I would look at it, and I would just be like, move, and it wouldn't move. And they prayed for me at church, and the Lord healed me. Literally, the next day I got up and had feeling. Yeah, it was really good. So I will sit sometimes and play the guitar and think, God, thank you. Because if he wouldn't have healed my hand, I'd be playing with my toes. And that'd look weird up on stage, wouldn't it? Me just sitting back there, rank, rank, rank. I know guys can do it, but not me. So we get thankful. There's lots of things to be thankful for. And sometimes we got to gain perspective and we got to sit down and say, Lord, this isn't cool. I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't like this. But you know what? Let me thank you for my wife. Let me thank you for my son. Let me thank you for breath in my lungs. Let me thank you that my hands move, my feet move. God, thank you that I live in a nation where I eat 3-8 times a day. Right? It's like, how many times do you eat a day? Well, quite a bit. Gratitude changes us. And I know that a lot of you probably feel like, man, this has been so hard, and where was the Lord, and the Lord let me down, or my heart was broken, and this thing. And the problem is we just get more down and more down and more down. And thankfulness, watch this, thankfulness lifts us because it changes our perspective. And I want to show you something quickly, because we're going to receive communion today, but we're going to take our time. I felt like the Lord said to me, reason why the message is short is because I don't need you to talk for a half an hour, 45 minutes. I want to spend some time in the presence of the Lord with you in receiving communion and really praying for the sick and really just allowing the Lord to move. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, where does Jesus model thankfulness in a very difficult time? I was reading this and I thought, man, this is unbelievable. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says, I'm the shepherd and I'm the good shepherd and I lay my life down for the sheep. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life, life abundant. And I want you to catch something that I had never seen before. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And this is what it says. So he's with all of his disciples. And he says, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Watch this. And broke it. And gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So watch. You're with Jesus, you're sitting at the table, and he reaches over and grabs a piece of bread and says to you, first of all, he pauses and he looks to heaven, and he says, Father, thank you. What? Thank you, knowing that my body is about to be torn. How many of you have seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ? I can't watch it. I saw it one time in a theater, and I can't watch it again. It's like watching your best friend be beat up. I can't do it. Yeah, I want to go fight the Roman soldiers. You know what I mean? I just want to step in. With every lash of that whip and every torn flesh, with every punch to the face, with the nails going through his hands and through his feet, watch this. He was thanking his Father that he was going to be broken. Lord, thank you. And then he looks at his disciples and says, this is for you. What I'm about to do is for you. I don't think the disciples quite got it. I'm going to be real honest. They're probably like, okay, thanks for the bread, Jesus. Yeah, this is good. And the Bible says that we're supposed to do this in remembrance of him, remember his death until he comes. And I don't know how many of you feel like my life has been broken and I've been hurt, or this is unfair, or this issue that has come up is an unfair. How many of you know that there are things that are out of our control because other people do them? And then we have to deal with the consequences, and we have to deal with situations, and we say, Lord, it's just not fair. Watch this. Our God knows how to take a flubbed up mess and a broken people and make us something beautiful. And you're going through your life right now, Lord, why is this happening, and why is this happening, and why is this happening? I want to remind you of a great verse, but look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It's going to tie into communion. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, which I have a hard time with this, that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. Do you think the cross was the joy? I don't think so. Despising the shame, he has set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, when he gave his life on the cross, he was thinking about being obedient to his Father. He was thinking about the joy that was set before him was you and me. Jesus was thinking about every person in this room, and you go, well, how could he do that? Well, he's God, so deal with it. He can do it. He had all of you in his mind when he was giving his life on the cross, and what drove him to the cross was that he had a thankful heart that he was going to redeem millions and millions, billions maybe, of people so that someday they could go to heaven and be with him forever. That was the joy that was set before him. So here he is being thankful in a circumstance that doesn't look pretty. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well. It's easy to be like, Lord, thank you for the $1 million check I received. I haven't received that yet. Lord, thank you for this and that. You know, it's good to do, but when we're in a hard time, that's when it's hard to be thankful. And by the way, pray, rejoice, and be thankful. Somebody said to me one time, Pastor Rick, what's the will of God for me in my life? Well, he tells you what the will of God is, that you would pray, that you would rejoice, that you would be thankful, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why is that important? Why is that the will of God? Because watch this. If I'm a person of prayer, and I'm a person of rejoicing, and I'm a person of thanksgiving, it's a shorter path to find the will of God than it is when I'm a stinker and doing it my own way and wanting to go about it in my own way. Would you agree with that? So when we get to the place where we're rejoicing and praying and being thankful, it's much, much easier for the Lord, because we become one with him. And he begins to speak to us, and he starts to direct our lives. Listen to this verse, Romans 8:28. You've heard it 1,000 times. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Just pause for a sec. And we know that all things, how many things? Work together for good to those who love him. It doesn't say, and all things work together for good. But that's how we quote the scripture. It's all things work together for good to those who love God. God has a way of taking the dumb things of life that happen and the circumstances of your brokenness and the pain of your life, and he has a way of weaving a beautiful picture if we'll let him do it. And the way that we can see that picture coming is if we stay focused on him. You see, Jesus kept his eye on the Father. And I wrote this down. I said, here's a few things that took Jesus to the cross and that he was thankful about. He knew he was being obedient to his Father. He knew his Father had a glorious plan. He knew the cross would bring millions to salvation. And he knew the throne was his destination. Where would he sit? At the what? Right hand of the Father. And he knew that that's what God would do. I want to read you this verse as we close and we get ready to receive communion. Psalm 16:11. Listen to this verse. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In, watch, in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, David had a revelation. David was rad. I love that guy. He was amazing. That was an 80s word, by the way. David was rad. He knew, he was seeing things about God and getting revelation about God that nobody was getting. He's like, Lord, at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. And who is sitting at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. He is, when we know him and walk with him, he is pleasure. Some of you are pleasure freaks. Well, stop being pleasured by things that bring you down and start going to the right hand of the Father and having a relationship with Jesus. Because he'll feed you. He'll fill you with his Spirit. Listen to this. In your presence is fullness of joy. And I want to close with this thought. I heard this last night. It was one of the coolest little illustrations I've ever heard. When Jesus was baptized in the water, he came to John, and John's like, dude, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And they ended up in a little argument for a sec, and then he ended up baptizing Jesus. Watch. And he went down, and when he came up, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended like a what? Watch. This is so cool. Descended like a dove and remained. Listen to this. How many of you have ever been around doves, ever? If you've been around them, they're in your backyard or something like that. Doves are very gentle little birds, and they're very skittish. I don't take much to spook them. By the way, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit gets spooked, but there's a picture I want to leave with you. If there was a dove sitting right here on my shoulder, and I was in this place, how I walk would change. Normally, I'm just like, hey, man, yeah, let's go, let's move. But with a dove sitting right here, watch what happens. I start walking different. Why? Because I don't want to freak out the dove. We had a parakeet when I was a kid. Parakeets are evil. They are. They're biters. They're biters. You can't offend them. They fight. I mean, I had a holding our bird once and didn't remember that I was holding him because he was feisty and he bit my finger, so I didn't know, remember I had him in my hand, and so I went to, he was brain damaged. He never flew the same for the rest of his life. He just, you know, just kind of flew around. Watch this. Gosh, this is changing my heart. Just this little illustration is changing the way I'm thinking about my life. I want to walk in my walk with the Lord to not offend the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's tender and he's awesome and he's powerful and he's unafraid, but he's also tender. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, by which you have been, what? Sealed. And every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, but there's something about when we walk with God and we're careful that the Holy Spirit comes upon us in a different way. And I want you to leave today thinking about this. Holy Spirit dwells in me, lives in me. And how am I now going to walk differently as to not grieve him? As to not, because how many of you know I want the Holy Spirit on my life? I do. And part of the way when we are thankful, praying, rejoicing people, there's something about the beauty of the presence of God that comes on us when we live our life that way. When we're not filled with angst and angry and bitter, and how many know that's easy? That's easy to do. We got to have authority, take authority over our flesh and say, no, that's not the way I'm going to live my life. I want to live to please the one who died for me. I want to walk in a way that the Holy Spirit's going, I love this. Noah, how many know Noah saved basically the world? And somebody said, yeah, but God loved all those people. And I go, yeah, he loved them, but he didn't like some of them because they all drowned, right? But the Bible says, but Noah found favor. There's something about believers when we walk in the Spirit and we walk with God, there's a favor that comes. There's an attraction of something from the presence and the glory of God. By the way, it's not works of righteousness so that you can boast. It's just a heart that says, I want to please the Lord and do what he's asking me to do. It attracts the presence of God on our lives. It really does. And I want to challenge you to be a thankful, rejoicing, praying person this week and think about Holy Spirit and how you're going to talk to your wife or your son or your daughter or your husband or that guy in the car. How many of you have a car issue? Cast that demon out, man. There are times when I'm driving, I say, Lord, that person will cut me off and I just want to, oof, I want to pull up next to him. And the Lord says, well, what about you when you do that to other people? I say, I don't do that to other people. I don't cut people off. He goes, yeah, you do. You're a terrible driver. When the Lord tells you you're a bad driver, that's not good. The angel of the Lord working overtime when I get in my car, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's driving. But there's something about, okay, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. Lord bless him. Lord bless him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, oops, oops, a Prius. Yeah, go ahead. Get in. Get in. Amen. Amen. I don't know what it is about Prius drivers. I just, nobody in here probably drives a Prius. I don't know what it is about those Prius drivers, man. They just, every time there's a problem up ahead, I go, watch, it'll be a Prius. We get up there. Some guy's winding the battery trying to get going down the freeway. Am I bitter about this or what? I got an issue. But do you get my point? Holy Spirit, in the way that we speak and the way that we live, to honor him or to dishonor. And I want to live a life that honors him, yeah? If we could have the ushers go ahead and come forward, bring the stuff, and if we could get the worship team to come back up, we're going to hang out for the next 10 to 15 minutes. We're going to receive communion. And I want us, we're not good at this in the American church. In the American church, we don't know how to linger. We just come in and we go like, all right, what's the run sheet today? All right, three songs, or announcements, and then you're going to get up, and then the car's got to leave, so you got to get up, and we're done. And sometimes I think we dishonor the Holy Spirit. Because he wants to do greater things than just a Sunday morning service, am I right? So you guys can go ahead and pass it out. Go for it. I know it's going to take a while. Let me come down real quick. I'm going to grab something from you there. The cameraman just had a heart attack back there. Didn't know where I was going. When you get your elements, the bread and the juice there, would you just do me a favor? Would you just close your eyes once you receive that? And just, would you just quiet your soul, quiet your heart before the Lord? Just quiet. I have a very busy mind. Anybody else have a busy mind? Yeah? The Bible says he will quiet us with his love. And would you just sit and think for a moment about the things that you're thankful for. So what are you thankful for? And then would you just start to tell the Lord what you're thankful for? Thankful for your wife, your husband, your children, whatever. Would you just begin to be thankful for that? Father, we are so thankful for the way that you bless us. And Lord, would you forgive us as it's in our nature just to sometimes be negative. And I pray that you would make us a people with good perspective and good perception of life, that we would just be thankful. Then when things don't go our way, Lord, we would still just be thankful. Lord, we would be a rejoicing church and a praying church. Once you receive that, all eyes closed for just a moment. Unless you're taking elements, don't close your eyes. You might be here today and you would say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know this God that you talk about who loves me, who gave himself for me, who was filled with joy when he died for me. Even in a horrible situation, he knew that one day I would receive him and I would have eternal life. If that's you and you would just say, I need Jesus today, would you just, I'm going to look around this room, would you just raise your hand up if that's you and just say, I need Jesus. We had like 7 in the first service. It was amazing. If you would just say, I need Jesus. Yeah, good. Anybody else? You just want to say yes to the Lord. My eyes are moving through this whole audience. You just raise your hand. Yeah, good. Awesome. I see your hand. It's powerful. Anybody else? Yeah. For those of you that raised your hands, would you just invite Jesus? Just say, Jesus, come. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Give me new life. Transform me. And if you raised your hand, would you look at me for just a sec? If you raised your hand. These two men of God right here to your left, says, I said yes. They just want to give you a booklet and pray with you. So when service ends, would you just maybe bring the person that you came with and go over there and let them just love on you and make sure you're okay. Let's do something. You just open your eyes for a minute. Paul said that some don't discern the Lord's body right and some sleep among you. They die because they didn't discern the Lord's body correctly. And I always used to think, wow, that's kind of scary. Well, what it is by his stripes we were healed. He is still the healer. He hasn't changed his mind. His power hasn't diminished at all. And if you're in this room and you would say, I have issues, I am sick, I have diabetes, bad back, whatever, man, emotional, thought life, whatever your issue is, and you would just say, I need to be healed today. I want the Lord to touch me. Would you just stand where you are? And I'm standing, by the way. If I was out there, I'd be standing because I want the Lord to touch this ear of mine that's given me problems for the last 30 years. And I would love for him to just go, no more. Wouldn't that be cool? And I believe he can do it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to him right now about your problem. Remember when Jesus came to the guy and he said, what do you want me to do for you? Wow, Christmas list. The Son of God who has power comes into your home and says, what do you want me to do? Oh boy. It's better than Christmas. Would you start to tell him what is going on with you? Just say, Lord, this is what's happening in me. This is the sickness. This is the problem. I want you to do that right now. Would you do that? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, so many problems. God, people with diabetes and heart problems and bad backs and necks, and Lord, depression and fear and worry. Come. Jesus, come. Lord, we give you our issues. We just tell you what they are. Now what I want you to do is I want you to ask him to heal you. Just say, make me clean. Would you say that to him? It's okay. Open your mouth and say, yeah, don't use your outside voice. It's okay. We're in church. It's cool. Use your outside voice. Say, Jesus, come and heal me. I receive it. And now I want you to thank him and worship him for doing it. Father, we love you. Thank you that you have healed us today. Oh God, thank you for your healing strength and power. God, that you love your children and you heal because you love. And so we thank you for your healing anointing that's in this room right now that breaks every yoke of bondage. Yeah. Now let's thank him for his broken body and let's eat this bread together. Lord, thank you for your body that was broken for us. We do this, Jesus, remembering that you were broken so that we could be healed. We love you. Let's eat together. Yeah, you can go ahead and have a seat. Let's take the cup together. We would have zero hope. Zero hope. had Jesus not come and died for us. I want you to hear me. His blood is powerful. Remember that old song, there's power, power, wonder and working power? Remember as a kid singing that in church, and the little old lady behind me, every time we sang it, terrible voice, screechy, but man, she meant it. There's power in the blood of Jesus to deliver, to cleanse, to forgive, and we're going to thank him for that. Father, we thank you that your son Jesus shed his blood, and that we don't stand here in our own goodness and our own righteousness. We stand here in the righteousness of Jesus. We stand here covered in the blood of Christ. Would you come now, Jesus, and wash away every sin and everything that dishonors you. And may we be clean before you. Thank you for the blood that you shed for us, Jesus, that redeems us. Let's drink together. Now we're going to sing to close our service. And it's what I talked about last week. We're not singing, we're worshiping. And so I want us, as we do this last little bit of a song, I want you to pour out on the Lord your worship. And I mean, there was a guy in the service last week who was sitting in the right here, and he said, he came up to me today and said, hey, I'm kind of new here. I met him on a golf course. I met this guy on a golf course, and he showed up at church. Yeah, awesome. And he comes up to me today. He's been 3 weeks now. He comes up to me today, and he goes, man, I did this. I did this thing. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, wow, something happened. And I go, yeah, it's called obedience to Scripture. Let's worship the way God intended us to. So we're going to do it together. We're going to worship him. And with all of our hearts, we're going to sing love songs to Jesus. Amen? Let's stand together.